Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 7, Episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a.k.a. Das Daily Zeitgeist!
It's actually Der Zeitgeist.
You know what? Shut up, Miles.
Okay.
For November 22nd, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. the godfather of the listicle.
Ooh!
Is what I've been
told. People don't know about that.
And I'm joined by my co-host, who wrote that, a.k.a. Mr. Miles Gray.
That's right, it's your boy Armin Tanzarian, a.k.a. Principal Spinner, because I'm nice with the fidgets.
And we're thrilled to be joined by our now, I think we could just call her sometimes co-host, the hilarious stand-up comedian, Jamie Loftus.
Hello!
There she is.
J-Law.
What is this, five?
This is five.
Number five?
Yeah.
This is five.
We're going to just stop counting. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Once we get to 10, then you have too many rings on.
Double
right.
I need more fingers for more rings.
Exactly. Yeah. Let them know. Like the heat. But Jack, people don't know about you and the listicles, pal.
I did not invent the listicle.
Okay, who was fucking with listicles?
I just made it great.
See, what a modest guy he is.
I didn't invent it, I just mastered the
phone. I mean, like, every media company relies on the listicle to get clicks. So,
right.
I mean, like, you're
no, there
click
were plenty
daddy.
Of listicles before.
You're not even trick daddy, you're click daddy.
Started using listicles.
Okay, Mr. Modest Mouse.
Jamie, what is something that you've searched in the not-too-distant past that you believe is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Okay, well, I rewatched Casper 1995 last night, which prompted the following searches. Bill Pullman hot.
As a question?
Bill, no, I just wanted to see if there was any comprehensive image collections of Bill Pullman
okay,
hot.
Like a Pinterest board.
Like just like lifting weights with his shirt off or something?
A lot of people think Bill Pullman's hot, it turns out.
Nice.
Bill Pullman hot. Bill Pullman ghost, because the CGI ghost of Bill Pullman that briefly appears in Casper 1995 is nothing short of horrifying. Also, somehow manages to take a flannel into the afterlife with him. And then finally, Bill Pullman on Bill Paxton, because I wanted to know, because,
people mix them up.
I feel like there's a good 20% of people that think that Bill Pullman is dead and not Bill Paxton.
Right.
So did he release a clarification statement? Did he say, I wish it had been me? What did he say? He said, nothing. He said nothing.
Oh, really?
Damn, he was silent on it?
He was silent on the issue.
His silence is deafening.
I know.
This topic.
Pullman, we get it.
Also, rest in power to the god, Bill Paxton.
Dude, Bill Paxton is the best.
One of my favorites, Coconut Pete in,
ooh,
yes, Broken Lizards Club Drift.
That's a Paxton deep cut.
That's a deep cut.
I just rewatched Paxton in Nightcrawler. So good.
Mm.
He's great. He's a, yeah.
What does he play in Nightcrawler?
He plays Jake Gyllenhaal's enemy, who always is like, "Hey, work with me." And then Jake Gyllenhaal films him when he gets killed.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
That's a gnarly movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paxton's the god. Bill Pullman, however, we have to hand it to him. In 1995, he was hot.
Pullman is the president from Independence Day. That's what I always need somebody to say that to me so that I know which one he is.
Ah.
Uh-huh. So. Pullman, president.
And I mean, then, yeah, Paxton, True Lies.
True Lies, yeah.
You're going to shoot me.
Paxton, Titanic.
Yeah,
yeah, Paxton's also.
Titanic.
Yeah.
Twister, all that. There used to be a video of Bill Paxton in like the Twister ride at Universal, like one of those intro videos. He'd be like, "Hi, I'm Bill Paxton. What you're about
to
witness.
Star of Twister.
What you're about to witness is a Twister simulation." And then it's like the worst ride of your entire life.
Oh, was it? Wait, is that at Universal in Orlando?
Yeah. It's okay. A really, I don't even know if it's there anymore.
It's probably akin to like what the Backdraft ride was out here, which wasn't a ride. It was just like, stand on this, like metal floor and then a bunch of shit is going to be on fire in front of you and then you leave.
And then you leave. Yeah. It's my favorite roller coaster intro video ever is the old one to The Mummy, where it's Brendan Fraser, where he'd be like, "Hey, this is Brendan Fraser." Like, he just that frenetic, psychotic energy he has. He's like, "You're about to go on the wildest ride of your life." And then at the end, he's like, "Whew, that was fun. Remember to take your stuff and unbuckle." I love it.
Oh, Brendan.
What a strange form that the like roller coaster intro video where someone at some point decided, no, we're going to pretend like you are actually you. You're not your character from the movie that we're simulating. You are yourself. And then, but then you're telling them that they're about to go on an adventure. If, so like the, yeah. the decision to suspend disbelief in like one very specific place.
For a ride that is so fantastic. Like why not go whole hog? It's right. like the animatronic Indiana Jones on the Indiana Jones Dude. Ride at Disneyland. It's like, hi, I'm Harrison Ford. right. Guys, get the fuck out of here.
yeah. Guys, this is pretty, I think the most perfect version of that is and also the most baffling roller coaster possible is the Aerosmith roller coaster at Disney World in Florida.
What?
There is an Aerosmith roller coaster. Yeah. And the intro video, Steven Tyler, like current Steven Tyler, is like, guys, it's Steven Tyler.
From Aerosmith.
From Aerosmith. Here's Joe,
Joe Perry.
Joe Perry, the guitarist. We need
Joe, the guitarist Perry, as he's known in the band.
And then he's like, do you want to drive our tour bus? And then you're like, and then it goes, wow. And then you go in, it's, great.
Buckle up for more twists and turns than my toenails.
that's a deep cut for Daily Zeitgeist, long-time listeners.
Long times.
Steven Tyler has fucked up toes.
Really bad
I didn't
feet.
Know that.
Yeah, the tabloids, there was one that was just harping on how bad his feet are.
But
his feet look like hobbit feet.
And it is my favorite joke that we've had on the Daily Zeitgeist. Miles said his toes look like they're throwing up gang signs.
They are. And I don't know what set he's claiming, but we'll find out.
Jamie, what's something that's overrated in your opinion?
Overrated right now, the Jim and Andy documentary on Netflix. Don't care for it.
So what is this documentary about?
So the documentary is basically dredging up all this old footage of Jim Carrey method acting. Sick burn, Jamie. Okay. So it's like all this behind-the-scenes footage of him method acting as Andy Kaufman during the filming of Man on the Moon, which I think came out in like 99? But it's all like... It's Jim Carrey just being a real jerk. There's a lot of great shots of the crew of the movie just being like, this is like not necessary. And he's like walking around, he's doing the Tony Clifton character. And then there's a lot of interviews with Jim Carrey at present, just saying like, I don't believe in free will. And then like a soft piano bed, like Jim Carrey doesn't believe in free will.
Like, just, I'm going to have to check that out.
Oh,
because I'm a Jim Carrey fan. Jim Carrey was one of my favorite things growing up, like on A Living Color and then Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Which, you know, says some weird shit, but.
He lost me immediately when I was like 11 and he ruined a series of unfortunate events, just ruined it. And then.
Wow, that just made me feel real old.
Yeah.
I was out of college
Jamie
and I was like.
Only 14 years
I'm
old.
14 years old.
You're the smart, and that's why we have you. You're one of the most intelligent 14 year olds we've ever met.
I'm a little boy genius.
Whiz kid Jamie Loftus is here with us again.
I'm basically Wonderkind. Jamie Neutron.
Jimmy Neutron.
I'm Jimmy Neutron.
That's great.
I'm Jimmy Neutron's little sister. But yeah, it sucks.
It's just him being super pretentious. I think you said that at one point he says that Andy like tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I'll take it from here."
Oh yeah, he's like, and then that whole stupid method acting thing where they'll call him and he'll be like, "Jim's gone. Jim's not here," and it's like Jim, like. What is your shoe size? And he's like, well, I guess it's more of a question of what Andy's shoe size, you know?
Fuck off.
I don't know. I can't get on board with Jim Carrey. And maybe it's just because he was such a bad Count Olaf, but God damn it.
What's something that you think is underrated?
Oh, Casper 1995.
Casper 95.
Of course.
Starring Christina Ricci.
Starring Christina, little goth teen icon Christina Ricci.
Yes.
Falling in love with a bulbous-headed ghost. Brad Garrett plays a fat ghost. That rules. Eric Idle phones it in. Bill Pullman hot. It's a fun one. And I cry every... Like, okay, so... You ever like watch a movie when you were like, and when you're little, you're like, oh my gosh, this person's so cute and I have a crush on them. And then you rewatch it as an adult and you're like, oh, that's a literal child.
Yeah.
I had that moment where they're at the end of Casper comes to life for a second. And I used to be like, oh my God, he's so like
right.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like style beautiful. And then last night I was like, oh, that is an 11-year-old boy. And I was getting pretty horny for watching this scene that is just an 11-year-old boy.
Now, pre-horny is...
Pre-horny is just the anticipation of, I know cute Casper's coming up soon, and I was getting pre-horny. I was already post-horny for Bill Pullman, because he's hot.
Actively horny, right.
That's how I know I'm a woman now, is I'm horny for Bill Pullman and Casper.
Right, right, right.
And not for Casper.
That's like
the
when
child.
I used to be in love with Natalie Portman in The Professional. As
yeah.
A kid.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
And then you get older and then you're like, wait, hold up. And then
this movie's creepy as
this
fuck.
This dude is in love with her.
Yeah.
Well, also, when you look at the deleted scenes from like the international version where like
of
they're going on
you've
dates
seen
and shit.
Of
oh,
like,
really?
Seen them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's like a moment where they're just on a date. Kind of.
Hey, I mean, you're not above it, America. American Beauty.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not above it.
God.
I think people know you by now, Jamie.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I don't know what to say.
Get to know me.
Get to know
me. I'm 14.
All right, let's get into the format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether you're looking or not. We talk about politics, our president, and the news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. And yeah, we're trying to take a temperature of what's affecting the national shared consciousness, which sounds a little more hippie-ish than we actually are. But let's get into it. And one of the ways we'd like to open is by asking our guest if there is a myth, something that is believed by that national shared consciousness that you think is incorrect based on your life experience.
Well, my myth today is perhaps a little more specific, but it's based on everyone I've told this does not believe me, which is that my screenplay, Santa University, is really bad. It's a myth I've been trying to bust for years.
Right.
Santa University?
Santa University.
Okay, go
and
on.
I think,
I'm
well,
intrigued.
It's okay. Here it is. Santa University is a movie about a university full of Santas, but they're young. They're like teen Santas. They got big dreams. They want to be the real Santa. But it's also a very competitive environment because there can only be one Santa. So by the end of the year, all the Santas have to die except for one. So it's actually a pretty
intense. They have to die?
Yeah. It's a very violent movie.
So it's like Hunger Games mixed with like Harry Potter. It's like a school.
With classic Santa mythology.
Uh-huh.
It's a musical. It stars a young Santa named Dan Santa. And he's majoring in Santa at Santa University along with everyone else at Santa University.
You're not just making this up as you go along right now talking
about
this?
No. I have record of making this up as early as 2012.
Wow.
It's been workshopped.
And
super producer Anna Hosnia is nodding. She's aware of
And you have, is this script fully written?
No.
Wait, does it have an outline?
It's in various Evernote. So
it's all
from
up here.
The past 5 years. I know how some of the songs go, though.
It would be great if we could do a reading of Santa University as like maybe a Christmas episode.
That would be beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful story. There's a song called The Perfect Santa. It's a bit of a ballad sung in the cafeteria while the Santas are lunging. They're knifing each other. The Santas are dying.
Holy shit. Okay, well. That is a myth that has been busted.
Give us the movie poster for Santa University.
Yeah, what does that look like?
Oh, so of course Dan Santa's front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Santa is the greatest character name of all time.
Is he just like a ripped hot dude, or is he like
he's an underdog
Giamatti type?
He's an underdog Santa.
Giamatti.
There's a part in the beginning where Santa's girlfriend from high school breaks up with him because she's like, I don't believe in Santa, and everyone's like, ha ha, it's a double mean. It's a fun movie.
Does he have a meet cute in it at some point?
He falls in love with I think it's Sarah Santa, who is the daughter of the dean, but she's in a relationship with Cool Santa, who's the captain of the team.
And his first name is Cool?
Cool. Yeah, Cool Santa.
Okay.
And then Dan Santa's roommate, Goth Santa's gonna be on the poster as well. He's a bit of a fun B character.
Mm-hmm.
There's the elves that want to start a punk rock band. They're gonna be on the poster as well. They start a lot of the musical numbers.
To be honest, this seems more like a series to me. This seems like there's just too much meat
on the
bone.
You can stretch this out over a few
seasons.
There's
an extended universe.
Right.
Okay, I like this.
All right, cool. Myth busted.
You sold it in the room, so
it's good.
I'm in.
All right, let's get into the stories. And really, it's basically a story that has been dominating the news for past couple weeks. We've called it any number of things: sex crim watch or Mengazi.
Mengazi.
Sex crims.
Sex crims. But yeah, so not too much. There hasn't been any bombshells of like new people added to the list,
except for Nick Carter.
Oh, Nick
Wait,
Carter.
Wait, is that was real?
That was on TMZ.
God.
He's a member
damn
of.
It.
Is he from the.
He's the famous
Boys?
Member of that meth family.
Oh, he's
Aaron
the,
Carter.
He's the king. He's basically the king of meth. He. Oh, God. Nick Carter. He's so. He was so cute.
And was it that he raped someone or attempted to rape someone? He did rape someone. So.
Yeah. Today in Hollywood harassment, Nick Carter denies rape.
You sound very distraught over that one.
I loved the Backstreet Boys. They were like my favorite band. They were my first concert. I saw the Backstreet Boys the night before 9/11.
On 9/10.
On 9/10, and I went to school the next day with my little T-shirt. I'm like, everyone's going to want to hear about this.
And lo and behold.
First thing in the morning, I was just like, this is unbelievable. What a microaggression against me, you know?
Right, right. And that's how 9/11 touched you.
9/11 was really, yeah.
It affected people in many ways.
Where were you on 9/11? The question is actually, where was I on 9/10?
And was I having a killer time?
Right. So Charlie Rose has been fired. I think that was yesterday. But I've actually heard people be like, man, it seems like we're equating Charlie Rose and Al Franken with Roy Moore. And that's not fair because Roy Moore, the pedophile. But man, those Charlie Rose stories are really
not
fucking
good.
Creepy, man.
Not
like he working at CBS or like at any company that he was working at would have been an absolute nightmare. Like he would like go up and like whisper creepy shit into people's ears while like grabbing them inappropriately. On a private plane once, he like got up and just laid down on top of a woman that he worked with.
That's horrifying and also very weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aggressive. We also, so the president weighed in on sex crime watch in general, but specifically the case of Roy Moore.
Came through with a stellar defense, man.
Yeah.
Did he say sex crime watch?
He hushed all the haters. Hushed the haters.
I think we actually have the audio where he explains why.
When we're talking about sexual misconduct, you had your own allegations against you.
Let me just tell you, Roy Moore denies it. That's all I can say. He denies it. And by the way, he totally denies it. Go ahead.
Mr. President, what is your message to women? This is a pivotal moment in our nation's history.
Women are very special. I think it's a very special time because a lot of things are coming out, and I think that's good for our society, and I think it's very, very good for women, and I'm very happy a lot of these things are coming out.
But believe the accusers?
I'm very happy it's being exposed.
Women are very special.
They're very
women
special.
Are very women special. Are very it's such special. A just... generic
and what a cute way of just being like women are like that's so diminutive.
Yeah,
women are very special.
They're very special.
I don't believe them. I don't like them.
And sometimes you don't know how special they are to grab them by the pussy,
right?
And then you really know. Oh, this is a special being.
How do you let a lady know she's special?
this Christmas.
It almost sounded like during the first answer, it almost sounded like Roy Moore was he was speaking about himself in the third person because the woman was like, "You have allegations against you. What do you say about this?" And he was like, Roy Moore denies it. Roy Moore says
that's it. Yeah. Dead. It's
like,
dead.
Yeah. At this point, the conversation we've been having around the office is just like, who would surprise us at this point? Because it seems like if Charlie Rose is like turns out a secret creepy pervert, probably the guy who nobody had thought of in a sexual context in their life at the risk of their sanity. Like, who would we be actually surprised by? And I think our list, like, this is the same conversation people were having, like, when it turned out every baseball player was on steroids. And I remember people being like, the only person that surprised me is Jeter, right. Bro. He's totally clean. And Pedro. But so we're doing the same. We're in a position where we're doing the same thing for famous people and their sexual assault.
Good guy power rankings.
Good guy power rankings. I think we decided Hanks would surprise us. Obama would surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell would surprise us. Conan O'Brien and Stephen Colbert.
That's it for you?
That's
what
our
about
list.
You?
And my dad.
I'd like to throw in Alfred Molina. I know he's not the most famous man in
That would
in
break
the
you.
That would literally snap me.
I know
me.
You have a special place in your heart for
I'd
Mr.
Molina.
I'd have
to drain all the marrow from my bones if Alfred Molina
scratch.
Turned out to be a per. I'd have to, turn myself into gel.
For me, yeah, I would say Chris Brown, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would really be devastated.
Yeah. If, can we just like take you outside for a second?
If something came out about those guys, yeah, you know, that would be really terrible.
Who can you trust,
Jamie's saying that she has something to talk to you about, I guess, during the break. But
yeah, don't worry about it.
Yes. Yeah.
What happened?
It's fine. Just bring a change of
clothes. But those guys still have careers. No.
They
have careers still.
That's
Mel Gibson, and I think Mel Gibson too.
Mel Gibson, good guy. Feminist icon, Mel Gibson.
Feminist icon, Mel Gibson.
I mean, he did know what women think about in that movie.
That is true.
And it was always, wow, what an ass on that guy, wow. Mel Gibson.
But again, if you guys have any information on if Chris Brown or Ben Roethlisberger, anything's up with them,
again, we'll just chat about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
Maybe.
Just bring a new pair of undies, you'll be fine.
Oh.
Yeah, you might.
Shout out to MeUndies.
Oh, my God.
Jeez. All right, we're going to take a quick break and talk to Miles about some of his heroes, and we will be right back. And we're back.
You're lying about Chris. You lied about Ben. Those are lies.
Listen.
Listen, man.
We'll take you out for a milkshake after.
Why would they still have careers, though? Why would they still have careers if they did that awful shit?
Listen.
It's a really good question.
That's a good... We've been asking ourselves this the whole time.
Man.
I saw Quentin Tarantino at a diner the other day, and one person in the diner yelled out, "How's Harv?"
Oh, shit.
And then Quentin Tarantino got the fuck out of that diner like, very quickly.
All right. So it is the day before Thanksgiving as we're recording this. And we are going to do a couple Thanksgiving themed stories. Wanted to bust a couple Thanksgiving myths for you.
Me.
We talked yesterday about how Thanksgiving is not a pure non-commercial holiday. Another myth you'll see on your local news is this idea that on Black Friday, everybody just goes crazy and starts like beating the shit out of each other.
Well,
and there's just like mayhem at every store.
Reddit
does
a good job of aggregating those one videos a year that end up being on every news broadcast.
Right.
When it's like two women fighting over like a blender or like two dudes throwing down over like a flat screen TV or whatever.
So basically this is just a genre of story that has become a thing that they know get ratings, and it's basically the slowest news day of the year is like Thanksgiving and the day after Thanksgiving. Because everyone's just eating themselves into a coma. And so the things that they'll do are they will report other crimes as though they were frenzied, like, attacks based on people trying to get toys or Christmas presents. Like, there was, a couple years ago, a shooting at Toys R Us that was, like, reported everywhere. It was like, there was a shootout over toys.
Hatchimals.
Right. And it turns out it was just an unrelated gang shooting that took place like in a Toys R Us parking lot. There's also just tons of violence that happens in like Walmarts on any given day. So it's not abnormal.
You don't hear about it.
Yeah. You don't hear about it.
A Walmart is a epicenter of evil.
Right.
In general. So it probably changes someone's like structure. Like, I'm in the fucking Walmart.
I feel more aggro when I'm in a Walmart.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Something, it's a stressful place to be.
Well, they also like come into communities, just suck them dry of all their resources, and then transport like all those resources back to Arkansas. So like, it makes sense that like all around our Walmarts, it would just be like crime and horrible shit going down.
It's like Mordor.
Yeah. Exactly. But the big myth I wanted to bust is our myth about the founding of America and that first Thanksgiving.
They were friends.
Yeah. First of all,
they're friends.
Before you try and fuck this up for me, Jack, we all know the pilgrims came because they were looking for religious freedom. And they met up with Squanto and Tonto and Bonto.
So the religious freedom thing's actually interesting. They were coming for religion, but it was actually to create a theocracy. So it was like the opposite of religious freedom. They didn't think religion was strict enough where they were coming from, so they were coming here to
ISIS.
Ooh, with the ISIS drop.
The tangentially related ISIS drop. So they were, you know, coming here to create a crazy theocracy, which they succeeded in.
It is crazy, like, because I grew up in Massachusetts, and you're going to Plymouth like once a year
regularly
with your class, and they have the Plymouth Plantation, which is just like a bunch of people role playing false history
right
before your very eyes every single year through high school.
Right,
it's insane.
So the reason that the Pilgrims came and were the like kind of the first big permanent settlement. Jamestown was permanent in a sense, but it was also a complete disaster. So we tend not to focus on that as much. And we'll get to Jamestown. But so when the Pilgrims arrived in Massachusetts Bay, 95% of the Indians in that region had just been wiped out by plague. So they basically walked into fully functioning towns that had just been completely evacuated of all the people. So they were just like, oh, this is great. Like, we have like, you know, all these fields of corn, like pre-planted and stuff.
Oh, so they're like the first gentrifiers.
Right, exactly. The white settlers were arriving in the Native American equivalent of Manhattan and I Am Legend, basically.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And, you know, anytime white settlers tried to settle pre-apocalyptic America, they failed. This is why there's like that long period between Columbus arriving, like 1492, and discovering the New World for white Europeans, and Pilgrims showing up in the 1620s, is because it was a fully settled, fully occupied, and, you know, inhabited country. There are some people who think there were more Native Americans in America than there were people in Europe at the time before the plague came through. There was like a written account from a sailor who like talked about sailing down the east coast of America, and you could just like, he called it like, it was basically like starlit with clusters of bonfires, and there were so many bonfires you could like smell the smoke before you could even see the land. So yeah, that's why there's that 50-year gap. The plague came through, depopulated the country, and white people came in and settled whatever land had been cleared by the plague. Vikings had actually tried to settle America before the Native American apocalypse and got the shit kicked out of them by the natives. That was like in the 1000s, I think. So yeah, I don't know. What one of the weird legacies, I feel like the story of Squanto is actually one of the craziest, like the fact that it's not a movie starring Daniel Day-Lewis or an actual Native American actor is completely insane, because this dude, like, so he was captured when he was younger and like taken to England to be sold into slavery, and he like managed to escape and convince people to take him back home, like across the ocean. It was like this long, insane journey, basically like the movie Gladiator. And when he arrived back to his hometown, it was like the year after the plague had just completely wiped out his entire tribe the year before.
Oh, he came back to the aftermath.
Yeah, he came back and his town was just empty.
Woo.
And he was like, what the fuck just happened? And then the Pilgrims show up and, you know, rather than going and getting the like nearest surviving tribe and having them kill the Pilgrims, he was like, well, somebody should use this town. So he like showed them how to work his town. He showed them how to like plant corn with like dead fish to like help with the soil and stuff. And it's interesting to look at like when people who were trying to settle America didn't have the help of the natives, like Jamestown, they came in and they like were trying to enslave the natives and also only cared about like digging for gold. And so the natives just like kind of sat back and were like, OK, yeah, good luck with that. And the first winter was so bad that, you know, when they got there, they were trying to sell Native Americans into slavery. And by the end, they were offering themselves as slaves in exchange for food because they were like starving so badly.
That's a tables have turned moment.
Right.
Yeah.
For the books.
Right.
There's another thing that they make you do in Massachusetts when you're a little kid. You go to Camp Squanto, and they show you, it's the weirdest thing. It's like just a normal camp, but at the beginning they show you this video that tells you that story of Squanto. I'm like, this is the coolest guy. Everyone he knows died.
Right.
And then he made friends with white people. Isn't that cool? Anyways, go outside and jump rope. And that was like the whole camp.
Welcome to Camp Squanto.
Welcome to Camp Squanto. We tell you about Squanto and then we give you a jump rope.
We will sanitize the shit out of history.
Right.
Yeah. Use this rope and jump up and down.
Yeah. I mean, and like Squanto didn't last for too much longer. He ended up dying. They think he might have been poisoned, actually, by the local native tribe because they thought he was, like, kind of double dealing, which he might have been.
They thought he was a Russian bot.
Right. But there was a war pretty soon after called King Philip's War that they still say is the bloodiest, most violent conflict ever fought on American soil that was between settlers and like the surviving natives. But again, this was the very last stragglers after a plague had basically completely depopulated it. So,
and we're just saying people just moved into their like the vacated homes of the dead and were just like using their plates and
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. When you look at the actual, firsthand accounts of the pilgrims, that's what they're talking about. They're like, yeah, we took the most beautiful, like, bowls and stuff from their homes and covered up the dead bodies that were still there, or, like, buried the dead bodies that were still there. And, they basically just used – they moved into a town that
like
already
Goldie
existed.
Goldie locked it. You're yeah. like, oh, this house looks cool.
And, I mean, this is
curtains
the reason
– the worst.
Because, like, you know, people just think, oh, you know, white Europeans came in with their superior weapons and, you know, gun beats arrow. So that's why today when you think of – America, you picture, you know, white Europeans or whatever, but like white Europeans also tried to do the same thing in Africa, tried to do the same thing in Asia. And when you picture those countries, you picture Africans and Asian people because they were fully populated, and you can't like depopulate a country. It's just that America had a plague that went through it that. So to put it in perspective, I think they think that 90% of the America's population was wiped out by the plague eventually. And the Black Plague, that is like the most famous plague that we know of.
Top plague. Top 10 plagues.
Was, I think it wiped out a third of Europe. So,
right.
So 90% versus a third.
And they got the plague because of the, like, Columbian Exchange, right? Is because
yeah.
they weren't living in close quarters with animals, and like once
right.
pigs came through, they're like, ugh.
Right. So the Europeans have been living for, you know, hundreds of years in close quarters with like pigs and livestock, and so they had, you know, over the course of years been exposed to all these different illnesses that had jumped species, and you know the natives didn't have that. They did like sort of have a type of agriculture that they did where they cleared trees from the forest so that like forests were still livable. They think actually that when the natives died off, so many trees grew back that it caused the mini ice age in Europe because it's basically reverse global warming. The more trees, the cooler the climate gets. But they didn't live in close quarters with like animal shit. So they were totally unprepared for, you know, some of the illnesses that came through.
Interesting. And yeah, I'll mention Massachusetts one more time because this is the only one of
Massachusetts
the only
expert
times,
Jamie Loftus come in.
One of the only times that the state is relevant in the
right.
year is around Thanksgiving. And it's interesting watching like people that like there were people I knew growing up who were like distantly related to pilgrims and between being very young and being like, I'm related to pilgrims, I'm cool. And then by
right.
the time I was in high school, they were like, I don't really like to talk about
you're a fucking genocider.
Right. Like you're great, 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 great motherfucker. Like they're
right.
my great, great, great motherfucker.
my fifth grade teacher, I remember that was like one of the first times that I realized that Thanksgiving was perhaps not so chill. Was my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Brewster, shout out Mr. Brewster, was related to famous Mayflower passenger.
Punky Brewster.
Mr. Punky Brewster, who was like the first preacher that came on the Mayflower and just like was a really active participant in just wiping out another culture. And so we're like, oh, that's so cool. You relate to a Mayflower guy. And he's like, I am.
The thing about that is,
I am related to him. There's no getting around it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, and there was a lot of, you know, slaughter and wars that followed it. But again, they were fighting them at like 1/20th of their previous strength.
So what are we trying to say? Should we still celebrate Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Just look at it in context,
just
right?
White people of like European descent should be thankful because their ancestors got the luckiest that any group of people has ever gotten because they just like rolled over and like moved into a completely like pre-settled like landscape.
Right.
But yeah, I guess it's probably worth like keeping in mind that the most important event in, like, most historians who know about this and study this say it's probably the most important event in U.S. history.
Well, and so. Also, the ironic thing, too, is, right, is Thanksgiving is probably the only American holiday that actually brings, like, indigenous people, like, kind of to the forefront of your thinking.
Right.
But it's been completely sanitized of its actual history and, like, the actual history of the experience of being an indigenous person in the Americas.
Right.
That it's, like... Yeah, let's remember that too. And also, do we also forget, and I just realized this, is that November is actually Native American History Month.
Yeah, I didn't even know that.
And we don't even know that, and it's happening in November. So yeah, guys, let's think of, you know, the real things we have to be thankful for too.
Right.
Like the Redskins, and the Braves,
exactly.
The Blackhawks.
Man, that is a lot of team names. Wow.
Yeah.
We're gonna after we take a break, we're gonna come back and talk about things
the good
that
stuff.
We're thankful for. And we're back. So real quick, wanted to talk about the presidential turkey pardon, because that happened. And
which was the most awkward shit if you actually watch the whole thing with Donald Trump pardoning the turkeys. He's like, can I touch them?
And then Donald Trump's not comfortable asking for consent. So it's just a very tense experience.
Right.
To
and
watch.
Then he like awkwardly pets it. And then he was like, I hereby pardon you. And right. Everyone was like, what the fuck? And then he had to start clapping. Everyone was like, oh shit. Okay. This is something to fucking
was
apply
that,
for.
Was that the end? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like it was so weird. It just, man can't even pardon a turkey.
Can't do anything. So dumb.
But is turkey pardoning dumb? Why do we do that shit? Does it matter? Because don't they fucking die anyway?
Yeah, I thought it went back way further than it did. Like, apparently there was an accidental turkey pardoning. Like, Lincoln's son, Tad, was like, nah,
Ted
I like
Lincoln?
This turkey. Tad Lincoln.
That sounds like a movie that needs to be made.
That's got to be right. A cartoon right away.
So he made his dad pardon the turkey. He named it. His name was Jack Turkey, and I think it lived a long, happy life with Ted.
Oh my God! Ted married that turkey.
I know. Can you believe it? But like after that, I think there was another president who pardoned a raccoon, which was sent to him for his feast. Like he was supposed to eat a raccoon, and he was like, "Nah, raccoons are cute. They have little human hands." I want it to be my friend. And so he kept it as a pet. But the next person to pardon a turkey was Reagan. Someone asked him about Oliver North. Whether he was going to pardon Oliver North. And he was like, no, I'm going to pardon this turkey. I'm Reagan. I'm fun. And then H.W. Bush like got in on it and was like, I hereby pardon this turkey. And then it's been a thing ever since then. But yeah, the people have pointed out that the turkeys usually don't make it a full year because, as opposed to in Lincoln's time when you pardoned a turkey and it just got to continue being a turkey, these are genetically modified beasts that have been made to last exactly as long as like they need to
get peak physical plumpness and then immediately dispatch so we can feast on their corpses.
Right. So they, you know, don't make it a year because they are just overplumped and
overplumped.
Jesus.
Right.
That's like even sadder. You know what I mean? Like you get pardoned and then like you're going to probably die of some kind of heart failure because your body is too big to sustain your life.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pardon my hamster for Thanksgiving this year.
Like, you're going to eat it.
You're straight up eat it, huh?
There's no excuse for you. And then I'm just going to, I'll bring a fork. my hamster is the size of a tater tot. It's like there's not even a point in eating it.
That's cute. Not good eating on those bones.
Worthless, yeah.
bring a good eating hamster through. Not one of these little...
Give me a guinea pig. Like, give me a little substance.
All right, but let's talk about things we're thankful for, guys.
Well, first, can we talk about this one thing? I just want to throw this in at the last minute. What's your favorite Thanksgiving food? Sorry to make this an AM or FM morning show, but I'm always interested to know what everyone's favorite food is, because sometimes I find common ground with people. The best part of the Thanksgiving meal for you, Jack?
Probably the stuffing.
Okay, Jamie?
I was going to say stuffing. I also love... green bean casserole.
Oh, yes. I don't have that often, but yes, I love stuffing is my thing. I could almost eat, I wouldn't even really need the turkey. I could just eat a lot of stuffing with gravy on it.
Well, yeah, turkey's almost inedible without the stuffing, because the turkey can be super dry.
Can be dry if someone's fucking up in the kitchen.
I went to a Friendsgiving the other night, and it was like, no one brought turkey. Six people brought stuffing, and it was the best Thanksgiving I've ever had.
I love it. Yeah, because, Thanksgiving is great because it's state-sanctioned gluttony.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like some families have, like, Thanksgiving signature dishes. Like, my grandma, rest in paradise, she's up there hanging out with Bill Paxton.
Oh, they're saying she lives in Paradise, Nevada.
No, she's literally in heaven making out with Bill Paxton. But she used to make this trifle. Like a dessert trifle, but everyone was like, grandma, like, does not wash her hands before she makes that trifle. But the trifle would be so good, but you knew it was dirty, but like you had to eat it, but it was dirty.
Wait, what is a trifle?
A trifle? It's like basically a 5-layer dip, but with like pudding and
berries.
Berries and cake.
And
like,
good.
It's really good. But my grandma's dirty little hands were also fully, but we would always you would just stare at it. You're like, I'm not going to eat it this year because I know it's dirty. It's gross.
A grandma's hands could never be dirty though. You know what I mean?
My grandma.
And were they that dirty that like even your family like, yo, grandma did not wash her hands again.
Well, she'd be doing it and then she'd be doing the finger licks and then she'd go back in.
That's your grandma though. That's your grandma. Those aren't germs. Grandmas don't have germs.
She's not like.
I believe that.
Okay, that's my grandma. I don't know. Rest in paradise, but also I did.
Clean your hands,
grandma. Yeah, wash your hands, grandmother. Come on.
They're just like, she's like, I've never washed them, and I never will.
My grandma was a badass. She would like. She was a widow. She was a widow, and she but she would have like all these framed pictures of hot cowboys around the house.
Hell
like she's a horny weird lady. Like she
who
was,
didn't wash her hands?
Who would not wash her hands?
My type of grandma.
Don't eat that trifle, dude. It's bad.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What are you thankful for, Miles?
Well, I guess we were gonna go around right and just talk about things we're thankful for.
Yeah.
And rather than do like the usual, like, oh, I'm so glad I'm healthy.
My family.
Boring.
Gonna hear more about Jack's baby.
Grow up.
Yeah, it's like grow up, dude. Get a baby. Oh,
get a baby.
Maybe I should. we want to go around and talk about YouTube videos we're thankful for, because that does sometimes bring us a little bit of joy when you can see the right YouTube video, or they just get you out of a funk.
Right.
So let's go around and let's just talk about a YouTube video we're thankful for that we've seen.
One that you showed me yesterday is just this. It's maybe 25 seconds. It's an enormous man taking a video of himself, and he's just out like in a cornfield. And I think we have the audio of he's smoking a blunt.
Out here in Amish, smoking big doinks in Amish.
Hell yeah.
Big doinks.
Big old doinks.
He's
big old
a blunt.
Doinks.
He just said it again.
Hitting a blunt in a cornfield.
Big old doinks.
Empty road.
Gang.
Gang.
Close out with gang. It's really one of the great things. Doinks is amazing.
Big old doinks out in Amish.
Referring to the country as Amish is just amazing. calling blunts doinks.
They all doink.
And then just signing off with gang.
Rather than doink.
My fucking spirit
animal.
Was
it doink or wrestler? Like a clown wrestler in the WWF back in the day?
Doink, really?
Doink is just a sound of something like bouncing off someone's
doink
head.
Doink the clown. Remember?
Doink the clown.
He looked like Beetlejuice on meth.
Dude, that does look like...
So anyway, shout out to Doink the Clown.
Feminist icon, Doink the Clown.
Feminist icon, Doink the Clown.
Other media I'm thankful for, Sesame Street, Dr. Seuss, and Goodnight Moon. That shit is keeps me sane.
Wow. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost the time of year to watch Chuck Jones, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is one of my favorite cartoons of all time. Uh-huh. It's so good. Narrated by Karloff.
What about you, Jamie? What's a YouTube video you're very thankful for?
Well, I'm an ASMR head. I love ASMR.
You get the tingles off that?
I get the tingles off that. Yeah, I love it. I've been listening to it to fall asleep for like maybe 4 years now.
Whoa.
I got in.
Oh,
on
so
the
you were like an early
floor.
Adopter, yeah.
Yeah, I got in on the ground.
Well, you're an ASMR still, hipster,
right?
Guys, not to brag, but I've been listening to creepy ass videos every night for a long time.
They lull me to sleep.
But there is one of my favorites that came out this year because now that it's been around for a while, people are like getting kind of like they're running out of ideas and they're coming up with new stuff. So there's this great user who I listen to all the time called ASMR Glow, but she did an ASMR version of Pennywise kidnapping a child.
For people who don't know what ASMR videos, give them like the elevator pitch.
Okay, so ASMR it stands for autosensory meridian response, and basically it's just when a user, it's basically just a video of someone whispering, and it's usually taken in like a simulation of something or like a role play. So it'll just be like a really quiet video of like, I'm gonna paint your nails, or like,
right,
I'm cutting your hair.
Yeah. I think you're really cool and nice, and do you want to be my friend? Okay, go to sleep. Like, right. Like they're on paper, they sound horrifying, but they actually are super like relaxing and
for helpful. It's like 15% of the population has a certain thing, right, where it like causes
response,
a physiological
right?
response.
And yes,
we can just play the video.
So this is Pennywise abducting a child.
You will know if you are
but
ASMR
you're gonna fall
sensitive.
Right asleep.
Yeah. Jamie's out.
Oh, what the fuck is this?
You awake?
Okay, so that's the start of the Pennywise video. Pennywise is just for setting, to just relax you. Pennywise is just taking you down into the gutter. You are trapped. You are drowning. You are dying. And
that's how you go to sleep.
It's a 45-minute video of like, hey, so where are your friends?
Jesus Christ.
I hate your friends. Do you want to prison? Like, it's scary. Yeah.
Hey, so if anybody, if you had a particularly tense Thanksgiving, just toss this 45-minute abduction simulation.
Honestly, I think it's one of the top 10 art films of 2017 is the Pennywise ASMR video. It's insane.
Miles, what about you?
Mine, in the grand tradition of people smoking blunts videos, I have to say, after we were talking about Doinks and Amish, it reminded me of one of my favorite ones, which is, like, rapper hits blunt and passes out. And it's just like this dude acting so tough on his webcam. I guess you can call it rapping to camera. And then he's like, does this, he hits a blunt so hard and he's just not built for it. I don't know, listen to this one.
For anything, put a grand on there. You get 2 G's on the rim. Bitch, niggas trying to do me. Get smoked like that blood.
I just love it because he's like, get smoked like this blunt, and immediately just
and so violent. Looks like he's like about to burst into tears at the beginning of the video.
Yeah.
Like he's got a really sad face, and his eyes are a little far apart. Anyways,
so guys, you can check all these videos out in the footnotes. So you can know the joy that we have from these videos.
I love that it's titled "Obese Guy Faints After Trying to Rap and Smoking a Blunt." That's like a Hemingway story. That's really sad.
The five. Yeah.
Very sad.
All right, that's gonna do it for us for this this Thanksgiving week. Hope you guys have a good Thanksgiving. Jamie, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on twitter.com at hamburgerphone. You can listen to my podcast, The Bechdel Cast, about women in movies every Thursday.
Great podcast. And Jamie's a great follow on Twitter. Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. And, you know, I probably will be outside of the Best Buy in Burbank. trying to get a $3 TV.
Wait, seriously?
No.
Oh.
Just challenging people, just staring at people.
Yeah,
hoping,
just
hoping they try it.
What kind of deal you trying to get, man? Cool, you frugal too? I like that.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. Oh, and the when we were cracked, the day after, or the Monday after Thanksgiving was always a big traffic day, I think, because like people would tell each other over Thanksgiving or like tell their friends or their family about cracked. So, yeah, tell your friends and family about
this podcast.
Cracked. No, I'm just joking.
About
the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
We could use it, and
Geist fam,
yeah.
Welcome to the Geist
Zeitgang.
Zeitgang.
Ooh, tell your family you're part of the Zeitgang. Zeitgang in the building, and you know, yeah, spread the love, because I'm sure if you live in a town where you might be the only person talking like this, it's a good show to spread around to your other snowflake cuck friends. You know, the soy boys.
Soy boys.
We're all out here.
Tell all your soy boys.
Yeah, tell all your
when
soy
you're,
boys.
When you're smoking a fat doink
when you're
in the parking lot of 7-Eleven in your hometown this weekend.
Hell yeah. And just looking at everybody like, dude, I was in the Daily Zeitgeist, man. What the fuck y'all are on?
You can follow us on Instagram at The Daily Zeitgeist. We have a Facebook fan page, The Daily Zeitgeist. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. And we have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com. Where you can find our episodes and also our footnotes. Where we link off to all the sources for all the crazy stuff that we do. Nice. And that's going to do it for today. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.